So this morning, I think I had the closest I'm ever going to have to like doing the action hero thing where you walk away from an explosion behind you.
Okay.
Yeah. How close was it?
It's pretty close, because it's when you drop your kid off at daycare with a giant poop in their body and their diaper.
Yep. You're
like, this is yours now.
Did you like, do you hear it go off as you're walking away? Or like, what's the timing?
No, I smelled it when I got him out of the car and I was like, oh, okay, here it is.
You're welcome.
And they're like, hey, Benji. I'm like, here he is. Happy to see you. Then I put on sunglasses.
And slow walked out.
And walked out the door.
Okay. Yes.
All right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring our Take Our Faith Beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff with me, as always, Pastor Dave Bowser.
How are we doing, Patrick?
And Alicia McCarter.
Still here. Still pretty successful. I just want to point out that David has Mickey Mouse as his watch face, and he was just grilling me about being a Disney adult. And he's wearing a Disney polo shirt. What is happening?
Okay. First off, the Mickey Mouse on my watch face is in honor of my grandfather, who had a Mickey Mouse watch all of my childhood.
Yeah, so we all have our explanations.
It has nothing
stuff,
to do with
David.
Disney. It just has to do with my grandma. And the shirt was a gift. And I like the shirt.
Okay.
Like it too.
Does
I just
say
don't want to hear it.
Disney's Magical Magnolia Golf Course. I don't think that's located in Magnolia.
Not this Magnolia.
Do you play golf?
Not well.
Oh, that felt defensive, didn't it?
But I wear
not
a polo.
Well.
No, I was just establishing. Like, no, I don't play golf well, but okay. I wear polo shirts.
But you're ready.
He's ready.
I appreciate
for
it.
Disney golf,
you're
in
like,
particular.
If today there, somebody came and like, do you want to play golf? You're like, I got my shirt on. I'm ready to go.
Listen, man.
Just in case. Golf game might break out.
I wear polo shirts.
I'm with you. It's like if I have like a, you know, basketball shorts on at all times,
right.
Just in
right.
case
just in
a
case.
Game breaks out.
I don't think just having a polo shirt on makes me ready to play
it's
golf.
A golf shirt. It says golf on it.
Okay, but it's not, I mean, if I wear a shirt that says football on it, it doesn't mean I'm ready to play football. Like,
if you're wearing a jersey.
All right. But I don't think this is a jersey.
It is a jersey.
No, it's not a
for
jersey.
Golf. It's a jersey for golf.
This is not a golf jersey. This happens to be a shirt that has a golf course on it.
Because it's a golf shirt.
But in like
somebody
by that
at
definition,
a pro shop.
Any shirt that is a polo shirt becomes a golf shirt.
No, the polo shirt that has Magnolia Golf Course on it.
Right. It is automatically a golf course. I'm just more interested by the two items of Disney paraphernalia that David has on.
It was a coincidence.
Yeah.
That we know of.
Yeah. What else you got?
Nothing else.
How are the socks?
We don't know. Yeah.
Get out of here.
You could have goofy boxers.
I could. I do not.
Yeah. Chippendale.
Okay.
Yeah,
I like the Rescue Rangers.
Rescue Rangers are great.
All right,
Tailspin. Or wait, what was it? What was the one where they had a plane?
That's Tailspin.
Yeah, Tailspin. Okay.
Yeah,
that was a good one.
That was good.
It's probably pre-Elise.
She's too young for that.
Probably.
I love this conversation. Yeah. Let's keep having it.
What is Elise too young for?
Yeah. So many things.
World War II.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I don't know last time you've been in England. I've never been.
Last year.
I flew over.
Okay. Last week.
Last year.
Last year. Okay.
Last week.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's where I was. I said I was sick.
I was in England.
Well, researchers are developing. There's a problem in England.
Oh. One?
Only one? Yeah. Agreed.
And the problem is seagulls.
Seagulls, okay.
Because they're taking your food.
Is it just
I've heard
in
about
England,
this actually,
or is it in
like...
the entire United Kingdom? Because those are different.
It could be.
That's my one thing that I know.
Fact.
All of UK that seagulls are nabbing people's foods.
I love this. Okay.
Okay.
It's a seagulls. Lot of French fries that are getting sold.
Chips.
Yes, out of the fish and chip place.
A lot of chips being taken.
Okay. Interesting that they're going for the chips and not the fish. That seems like the natural thing.
The natural food. Probably they just have that in abundance, you know?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
They're like, what we don't have is fried little potatoes.
That's true. That is true.
Solid argument, seagulls.
Yeah.
And they're like fried fish.
Yeah.
You know, I got to watch my weight. You know, like,
sure.
Right. Gotta, heart health.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fried potato, though.
Yeah. All good.
Look, you know, everybody gets a little me time, a little treat. Okay? Sure. So they're figuring out how do we keep seagulls from stealing our food.
So let me ask, are the seagulls like enacting revenge for like colonialism? Is that what's happening here? Or is this just like seagull behavior? What's
seagull feels like a colonial bird. You know,
like
I don't
the
think
seagull
it's mad
is
about colonialism.
Maybe
yeah.
it's just enacting its
it
own
It feels
form.
It's a colonizer.
So it's
I've never looked at
I
a seagull.
I mean, people
but...
have been on the British Isles for quite some time. This is how this is. Yeah. They've been slow playing revenge.
Yeah. And seagulls are here now, too.
It's a dish best served cold. That's all I'm saying.
Or is it like, you know, global protests from around the world? Sure. Like, they're dissatisfied with Brexit. You know,
first the orcas came for the yachts. Now the seagulls come for our fish and chips.
Man,
right?
If they
figure out
how to work together, we're in trouble.
That would be unstoppable. Orcas by sea and seagulls by air.
Yes. The orcas.
Then it's the squirrels come at us.
They're coming up out of the water. They open their mouths. A bunch of seagulls fly out.
That'd be so scary.
All right. Well, researchers have tried to figure out how do we keep the seagulls from taking our chips.
Yeah.
You know? Okay.
Eat your chips inside.
seems really simple.
Do they not have roofs in their restaurants? Yeah.
They did not check this out in Texas because a gun probably would have been the answer. You know,
like. Open carry.
Oh, that's sad because it's true.
I know.
Here's what they did. Googly eyes.
Googly eyes. On the french fries?
What you put it on the package, on the box, the to-go box with the french fries in it. Okay. You put some googly eyes on there, and the seagulls are less likely to go for
those.
Does
this work?
Damn, they're saying it's working.
Okay. Do British people know how to do science? This sounds this doesn't sound like science.
Look.
You said researchers.
Substantially less likely to approach and peck at boxes that had googly eyes on them.
So wait. Are people just like leaving boxes of fish and chips unattended on the beach? Because that also feels like a way. The seagulls can eat
that. I think you're on the beach, you're on a park bench, you're snacking from your little to-go, and you put a bunch of some googly eyes on your package there, and seagulls are not going to come to it.
I have a concern.
Do you have to bring your own googly eyes, or are the stores providing these now?
Yeah.
Okay, what's your concern?
Well, animals learn, right?
Yeah.
Seagulls are actually smart birds. So what we're really doing is training them to eventually attack us.
Attack.
Things with eyes.
Things with eyes have food inside of them. Exactly. So now they're going to come in our mouth.
They're going to develop a taste for human meat.
Or at least for assuming there's meat inside of us.
Right.
I mean, look, there's some context here. One, if you put them together on the front side of like a package, that's typically a predator animal.
Eyes on the front.
Eyes on the front.
Eyes on the side. Yeah.
Yeah. And so scared of the predator.
Sure.
Two, animals have been camouflaging eyes on themselves for quite some time to discourage predators.
Generations, some might say.
Yeah. I mean, like butterflies have eyes on their wings like that. So, I mean, like, so maybe this is a thing. Maybe if you're like, seagulls, googly eyes are the solution. Now, I don't know if a regular sticker eye or it has to be googly.
Like it has to move some.
I'm going
to
stand with eat inside. Simple solution.
Yeah.
Or like hold the fish and chips in your lap. Like are the seagulls coming and taking them out of people's
sometimes
laps?
I think they're pretty aggressive.
And take them.
Okay. They're a dive bomber. They're coming in. Okay. If they want that chips, they're getting those chips. Okay. Yeah. All right, there you go.
I'm so hungry. Why do we always do food news, and why do I never eat lunch before we do this?
Those are all good questions.
He's got food right there.
Yeah, you want a
beaver nugget?
You want a Bucky's beaver nugget?
I'll try one.
Have you never had?
No.
Now, if you put googly eyes on there, maybe you would discourage some.
She's coming around.
One of the things people...
She was uncertain.
It's like a deep fried Cheeto without the cheese.
One of the things people love listening when they listen to podcasts is hearing people chew food.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah. All right. Maybe I'm going to try this. You know, my kids sometimes steal my food. Put some googly eyes on it.
Yeah. That'll make your toddler less likely to be interested in it.
I'm just saying try it. Put some googly eyes up in your house.
Maybe I just put
see your spouse is going to take less stuff.
Just give yourself googly eyes. Make your eyes googly.
Yeah.
Do I just move my eyes around?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Shake your head.
Shake your head.
Or you do the creepy thing from Pirates of the Caribbean where you close your eyes and they're like eyes on your
eye tattoos. Yeah. Yes.
That's pretty cool, actually.
Okay.
It's pretty sick.
Even a further step in the human versus gull wars.
Right. If you're committed.
Right. Yeah. You got to put googly eyes everywhere, I'm sure.
Yep.
Yeah. Just surround yourself with googly eyes.
Yeah.
The seagulls, they're moving in.
All right. Let's get to our main topic. So our main topic, what is this? No, I don't want ads. Is going to be from Relevant. They're trying to give me a bunch of ads on Temu stuff.
Oh, on Relevant.
Come on, Relevant.
Relevant's tagging up with Temu.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, we're going to at least have to talk about the picture.
I feel like Relevant is Temu Christianity.
You're probably not wrong.
Yeah. Sorry, friends.
Does that mean it's imported or just cheaply made?
Cheaply made, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably right.
Yeah.
It's probably American, though, so it's not, like, imported from overseas.
Right,
right. Right.
Not, like, you know, cheap products. You don't really
cheap,
know what's going on.
It's cheap American products.
Right. We do.
So, yeah. It's the Oriental, maybe the Oriental Trading Company.
Oh, yeah.
I think
there's no way Oriental Trading Company is made in America.
No, but, like, I would say, like, if you order a thing from Oriental Trading Company, it looks like the thing that you ordered. Like,
that's fair.
It's right. A cheap thing, but it's the thing. Temu, yeah. It's like, you could get anything.
It could be a 12th of the size you thought it was going to be.
It could be a picture of the thing you thought you were ordering. You don't know. Nobody knows.
Yeah. Like,
the world's a mystery.
Yeah. Yep. All right. We got to talk about the picture.
Okay.
And by the saying the picture, everybody knows, should know what we're talking about. Unless things have happened from Wednesday to the time of release and there's another picture.
I'm not going to cross that off the list of possibilities.
Might be. Yeah.
There will be a whole weekend between here and there.
And this might help us out in kind of our conversation and relevant as well. So over the weekend.
The weekend before. Because this
last
is,
yeah. Yes. Yes. The previous weekend. Not this past.
Which
weekend.
Was Greek Orthodox Easter. Fun fact.
There you go. Well,
fun fact.
I mean, it's not unfun that this came out on a major religious holiday. Yeah. Just
I mean, I'm sure any day is probably pretty bad. You know, like
agreed. But you know,
You know, we're American. We don't really care much about the Greek Orthodox Easter. No,
also agreed
to the Greeks or the Orthodox.
I think you meant offense to both of them. Yes. But that's, and they, like the seagulls, will have their revenge.
I got Google ass.
Right. Prepared.
I'm ready.
Yes.
Eyes on the back of my food. Yes. All right. Well, anyway, the president and the Pope had a bit of a feud.
Yeah, they were beefing.
They were beefing, yes.
They, or was that mostly one-sided?
It seems mostly one-sided. Yeah. It seems, again, I'm not on Truth Social, and I'm not on Twitter, and I have no RX or whatever you want to call it. So I didn't read any of these things directly, but the Pope is basically anti-war, which seems reasonable,
pretty much in line with his,
you know like, again, a very reasonable place, and talking about God is not on the side of those who wield the sword.
Mm-hmm.
Now that may be an interesting theological question,
sure,
especially in light of what I read in scripture.
Yeah,
you know, like,
there are questions there, absolutely.
Anyway, the president took that a little personal.
Mm-hmm.
Fought the Pope on the Truth Social, not even on the Twitter. Lot of anger towards the Pope, and then chose to post a photo of him.
An AI-generated photo
that he did not make. This existed before, but he posted. It's kind of a weird version of the previous one, because this one looks weirder.
Okay.
Of him in a white robe.
Mm-hmm. With a red sashy thing.
Healing a man sick with light, and light in his hands.
He's not sick with light. He's healing with light.
He's healing with light.
The punctuation was unclear.
And surrounded by, you know, gawkers.
Yeah.
Looking up at him.
A nurse.
With awe.
A military person of some capacity.
Fighter jets.
An eagle in the background. Also like a kind of alien monster thing at one point.
Kind of an alien monster thing. Yeah, that's an interesting piece. Is like, it has like some hovering soldiers, but one of them looks like a monster.
Yeah.
Yeah, so AI, you know, like. And the president chose to post this.
Yeah.
Hmm. Universally, kind of everybody's like anti.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, what is happening?
Mean, because the perception, which I think is fair,
which is reality,
is that it looks like he's putting himself in the position of Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
It looks like he's put his face onto a Jesus
how
body.
How would describe Jesus in an image of Jesus? If you took that image of Jesus with a guy with long hair and a beard and not Trump's face, you would be like, that's Jesus. Like, it would just be, that's who it is.
Yeah, there's a previous version of that picture that exists that is Jesus. And, like, so there was a, like, one.
Also, it's a weird picture, even if it's Jesus, just
to
be clear.
So I actually think that version is worse than the Trump version.
Yeah.
Because I think it is harder to critique and more insidious Jesus projected as a Christian nationalist than Trump propping himself up as Jesus,
because
everybody knows that's ridiculous. Yeah. The other one's a little bit more dangerous, I think.
That's a fair point.
Yeah, I mean, universally across the board, everybody's kind of against this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, now, there have been, obviously, the defenders. I think Vice President J.D. Vance was like, people don't understand his sense of humor.
Oh, he sold his soul, man.
Yeah.
That dude.
I mean, I don't think it's, you know, it's not, like, funny. You know, like, yeah. I think I have a pretty solid sense of humor. And I can laugh at high and lowbrow humor. Yeah. I am not over.
I don't discriminate, to be clear.
I am not over the lowest of brows. Right. Okay. Like,
I find everything funny. Right.
Anything.
Googly eyes defending a seagull.
Yeah. Yeah. Googly eyes, funny. A person falling down, funny. Potty humor, funny. I'm on board with it all.
Person falling down with googly eyes on the potty. Hilarious.
I'm on board. This is not funny. Like, I mean, this is just not, it's not funny. Like, it's just, and basically from progressive Christians, conservative Christians, MAGA Christians, everybody's like, this is pretty offensive.
Yeah.
To put yourself clearly as a Christ figure in an AI image, healing people with light is nonsense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The president's defense was he thought it was a doctor.
Yeah, he thought he was a Red Cross worker.
Which is also ridiculous.
Agreed.
For somebody who's not a doctor.
Agreed. I think we on this podcast can agree it does not feel like he's a doctor in that picture.
Yeah.
I don't see how not. Any person, I would say including him, thought that was real, you know? Because, like, we have a picture of Jesus, and I've never walked to be like, who's that doctor?
Dr. Jesus? Good to see you.
It would be Dr. Christ.
Yeah, right.
He's cool. He's happy. He's casual. He go by Dr. First.
Dr. J.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. That's somebody else.
Now, is it doctor or does he have his doctorate? You know?
Oh, that's a good question.
Oh, it's a PhD.
Yeah, he's probably not an MD. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's probably,
that's
he's probably studied.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you think he lists his PhD credentials at the end of his emails?
Probably. Yeah.
But
this one does. I don't know about real Jesus, but the
that one
Jesus.
Also has got a sick middle part. It looks like
it does have a middle
requires
part.
Requires a lot of
both of hair and beard.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's got a straight line from beard to nose to hair.
This is a Jesus Christ the, Harvard.
The symmetry is
quite lovely. It's quite fetching. I unfortunately fetching. We are describing a picture that you cannot see, audience, which I'm sure you loved just as much as you loved hearing Elise chew.
I'm done now. Okay. I had one beaver nugget.
I think Patrick should do the beard part. I think that'd be a good look.
Oh,
okay. Maybe
you
I'll
just need some
that.
Gel or some pomade.
Yeah,
and a comb.
Sounds good. But we really want to talk through like this idea of, okay, like as Christians, obviously, again, everybody's against this. Nobody's really defending this except for the most faithful of faithful MAGAs. And even then, most of them are like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I even saw the Daily Wire, which is the very conservative news thing, was like, deleting it is not enough.
Mm.
Like, you need to apologize for these types of things. And so even like that segment of like conservative news acknowledges like this is wrong and deleting it, you know.
Yeah.
But I think it brought up an interesting question of like religious leader versus political leader. What do we do when there's a debate or feud?
Yeah.
And maybe that kind of led us a little bit to this article in Relevant of everyone has a version of Jesus. Only one holds up. That's the name of the article. So maybe it is a question of like, we're seeing a political platform lift up Jesus or an image of Jesus.
Sure.
And when that conflicts with the religious platform, what do we do in this environment?
Yeah.
All right. So what do you want to do here? Do you want to talk through Pope v. Prez, you know, as kind of a concept, or go through the article first?
I think let's start with this kind of the concept, because I think the history of like this is interesting and worth remembering. Right? I mean, when we start out with the Christian church, it's an underground apolitical movement, right? That's actually against the established Roman government at the time and is even trying to be stamped out by Jewish authorities and at times even persecuted by Roman authorities. And it's only, we've talked about this before, but it's only with Constantine that Christianity rises to a sense of political power.
Mm-hmm.
And from the start, it becomes an interesting push and pull between the political authority and the religious authority. And it happens at the Council of Nicaea, which is where Santa Claus famously punched a guy, right? We've had that story before. But it's also where we get the Nicene Creed. It's where we get kind of the canon as we understand it as the New Testament and Old Testament is kind of solidified at this council. Right? It's a major thing. And the pull between Constantine as a political figure calling this council together and the religious figure saying, like, this is who we need to be, was from the get-go very tenuous, mm-hmm. And remained so through much of the Roman Empire, or the Holy Roman Empire, I should say, because there was the previous one, the Holy Roman Empire with, you know, a pope who would then also have a emperor, and the battle between those two, and sometimes they were the same person, and sometimes they were not, and sometimes they were best friends, and sometimes they were not, and so this has been around for a really long time, and it's taken a new shape as America establishes this idea of a democracy, where it's not just an emperor, but it's a president that we elect, and we still have this Catholic leader in particular. I mean, Lutherans, we don't have the same kind of vibe. We don't have a central international leader, right? I mean, we have elected bishops and things like that who will speak to things, but there's a lot more room for us to disagree with our bishops than there is for Catholics to disagree with their pope. Like, I mean,
yeah, and probably again, like, yeah, the average person in the pew probably doesn't even really know who the bishop of the ELCA church is.
It's totally
legit. Do you know?
No.
It's a woman, isn't it?
Was. She recently ended her term and a new guy was elected. Oh. Anyway. Yeah. But you were there.
We had one for a minute.
You were more recent than other people. Yeah. But yeah, so yeah, Pope is definitely a more international figure. And I mean, for a long time, there was questions whether or not a Catholic could faithfully serve in political office in the United States, because would they be beholden to the
papacy?
That
was a major debate for Kennedy.
Yeah, it was a huge thing for Kennedy. He was the first Catholic elected president, right? And so I think it's been a poll that we've wrestled with for a long time. I think it has taken on a particularly new level of interest.
I want to make something clear. Like, I don't think Catholics need to, uphold the Pope because it's the Pope. There have been plenty of awful and evil popes over the years.
Yeah.
And not just like I'm saying that because I'm not Catholic, like legitimately corrupt and evil popes.
Yeah. Right. Like there are popes that even the papacy and the Roman church now will go back and be like, yeah. That was not great.
Yeah.
So it's not like, the office itself must be beholden to at all costs. And it's,
I do think the office, I think there's a distinction between the office of the papacy and the individual who's the pope. But yeah, I hear you.
But I do think it is kind of an interesting thing for American Catholics, mm-hmm. which the vice president is one.
Yeah, do you see, like, I think it was just today that the vice president tried to, like, school the pope in theology. And
I think he said,
moron. Yeah. I mean, also in some, like, offshoot of Catholicism that's kind of weird.
Agreed. He's a very conservative sect.
I think it's kind of culty.
I can't speak to the cultiness of it, but
I will. It's culty.
I don't know anything about it other than to say it's an offshoot, a very conservative offshoot in American American Catholicism.
Yeah. I think it's not largely recognized by, like, mainline Catholicism.
Sure.
So.
But the question then becomes, like, where does our allegiance lie? And how do we wrestle when these two leaders come very much into conflict? I mean, the Pope is not, for me, a primary religious leader, but he's certainly a religious voice and a theological voice to which I give credence, right?
Yeah.
I'm not Catholic, so I'm not beholden to it.
Right.
But I give credence to it. And so how do we align? How do we navigate these? I mean, I think this particular issue should be easier for us.
My money's on the Pope. I'll just go ahead and say.
This particular one is maybe not the most complicated, but I think the question that comes up, and this is where it's helpful, is like, what is the image of Jesus that they are?
Yeah.
What's the word I'm looking for? Purporting? Is that a word?
Mm, it's a word.
Yeah. Is that the word that I think it is?
Maybe.
Okay. What is the image they're putting forward, right? Is the image of Jesus that they're putting forward an image of Jesus that I align with? I think that's a good question to ask. Mm-hmm. Is it an image of Jesus that aligns with Scripture? I think that's an even better question to ask, right? And that's where I think we get into the article.
Okay. All right. I think that's helpful. You know, like, again, I probably most people, I'm going to be honest, like, pre-feud, probably had already kind of made up their mind. like I don't think that the MAGA faithful, I think, are just gonna be, you know, sticking with Team Trump, even in light of, like, a blasphemous photo,
right? Because it was never actually about religion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the anti, you know, the people who are anti, you know, Trump are probably gonna be Team Pope.
Yeah.
But not because they're actually on Team Pope.
Right.
But
because there are plenty of things they're still going to disagree
because
with Pope
it's,
about.
Because it's a fight between two figures, right, and one of them is a person I disagree with. So,
yeah. I mean, there are plenty of liberal positions, right, which the Pope would not agree with. I mean, mm-hmm. the Pope in the Catholic Church is staunchly pro-life, right? And there, like, there's going to be a conflict here. Mm-hmm. But in this particular issue.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
We're all on board.
Yes. Strange battle follows.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So.
I don't think you're allowed to be bedfellows with the Catholic Church. I think there are rules.
Not bedfellows. There's so many jokes.
Some unfortunate
there.
Jokes.
So
that,
many jokes.
That I will refrain.
Yeah.
Because not appropriate. Yeah. All right.
You can tell us after the podcast.
We all know. Yeah. All right. Here we go. So this article, everybody has a version of Jesus. It's going to go through several versions, how people kind of express Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that this is a very well-written article.
I don't think
it's very charitable
to
opposing sides. It kind of lands on a conclusion and kind of rolls its eyes at anybody who might disagree.
Yeah.
Rolls its googly eyes at anybody who might disagree. And I think that there are reasonable disagreements that I can acknowledge.
I think, but it does present the side. And so I think we can use the side and then we can present the reasonable argument. We don't have to. Yeah.
I think it maybe also would behoove us to just state
we've
done
all
like,
sorts of big words today.
A lot of faith is very difficult to prove, right?
Like, for sure.
And that's kind of, to me, that's kind of besides the point.
It's very much the point, right? Faith should be.
Right. I mean, I think if it was obviously untrue and there's huge holes in it, like then maybe like I need to listen to some of these arguments very closely.
Sure.
Right, but like trying to like say all of this like these viewpoints that are anti-Christ is fully God and fully man are just ridiculous and eye roll and dismiss them, that's not really it's hard to prove that Christ is who he said he was, right? Like, that's
also the key element of faith, right? Yeah. Faith itself is rooted in the mystery of what I cannot see.
Yeah.
If you're at a starting point where the Bible is true and authoritative, then you would not agree with any of those things. But the reality is many people, the majority of people in the world don't think the Bible is true and authoritative. Mm-hmm. And so like when they were like, I think Jesus is a myth. And you're like, well, look, the Bible says this.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
That's not proof.
Yeah,
like
I agree.
You're trying to like disprove something's a myth by using a fairy tale, right? From that POV. is a little funky.
I do believe the Bible is truth and authoritative.
As does this podcast.
So,
as a stance.
So, but here we go. So,
even me.
Wow. Oh, whoa. Wow.
I'm shocked.
Yes. C.S. Lewis, I think, famously said, like, you know, there's only one of three ways to kind of approach Jesus. He's either liar, lunatic, or Lord. I think he's approaching again. Bible is truth and authoritative.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, that if this is the person presented in Scripture, those are the three ways to kind of approach it. I think some people have said maybe legend, you know, is another way to kind of approach it. And that's kind of our first one here. Jesus never existed. He was a myth. So what do we think about this kind of?
Yeah, I will say this is the hardest for me to completely say like, oh, yeah, I can understand it. Because there are non-biblical historical sources that point to a Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. Like there are things that align with the story. Now, are we saying everything he did was a complete myth? And like, sure, there was a historical person, but the legend, if you will, that grew up around him, around his healings and his miracles. Okay, then I can get there. But if you're just going to say Jesus as a human being never existed, I have a harder time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is one of the ones that I don't think is very charitable to an argument, because I think many people would say like, yeah, sure, there's a guy named Jesus. He existed.
Yeah.
Maybe he was executed by the state. The Jesus present in the Bible is myth, though.
Sure.
Like, those two things can be true at the same, like, at least for that person, true at the same time. And this does not allow for that as kind of a dismissal. This is like, either he never existed and is a myth, or he did exist.
Yeah.
And not some combination of the both. Just
like nuance.
Just like a Paul Bunyan may have existed.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean he had like a big axe or whatever and chopped down a bunch of trees. You know,
or
like,
Johnny Appleseed.
I was thinking of King Arthur actually and all the like legend that surrounds that. And
Our
of course
inability
you went to medieval
to
England, yeah.
prove that Arthur was real or made up.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so again, this one I don't think is very charitable to an audience that would say, I think Jesus, the stories in Scripture are stories of legend, but Jesus was a real human being.
Yeah.
And that they don't really address that. All right. Number two.
All right.
Jesus was a great moral sage.
The sage.
Ooh, yeah.
Not to be confused with the basil or the thyme.
Right. It's the cool term, though. Sage. Yeah. The wisdom of a sage.
I do like the word sage. I think that it's underutilized, I think.
It is.
Yes, yes.
What's one got to do to be a sage?
Yeah.
We can add that
if
to
somebody called me a sage, I'd be like, oof, look at
that. I'm so flattered if I've made it.
I don't think we have to worry about that.
Yeah, probably.
Right. We're all marked safe.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is, for me, this is like the most common non-Christian thought about Jesus, right? Yeah. It's like, oh yeah, I really get, like, even Gandhi, right, was kind of famous, like, I love the teaching of Jesus. I love hearing what I don't like what the Christians do with the teachings of Jesus, right. Was my interpretation of this quote, right? But so,
fair hot take, you know.
Right, like, I think anybody could read scripture and could get to a place of saying, like, the way in which Jesus talks about treating people seems like good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, you don't have to believe in the truth or veracity of scripture to think that it, I mean, you can read it as a fairy tale. You can read it as Aesop's fables, and you can come away with it with lessons saying, like, oh, this is how I should treat people. I think that's a reasonable, if you're starting from a position where the scripture is not authoritative, right? That's a reasonable thing to come away with.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that this one, and even Christians themselves might kind of land on kind of this ideology, but probably they really haven't read all of the teachings of Jesus, because some of it is freaking weird.
Sure.
And like that, and I think that is okay. Like, it's okay. Yep. And that, as a Christian, I'd be like, some of the teaching of Jesus, there's a reason his disciples were often asking him, like, what are you talking about? You know, like, explain to me what you're saying, because I do not get it.
Like, and the explanation, I'm 5 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
And the explanation often makes it worse. this did not clear up anything.
And so I think, like, the idea of, like, Jesus is wise, compassion is inspiring as a teacher, I think elements of Jesus' teaching is 100% yes, those things. But some of it is very hard and difficult and challenging, even for Christians to navigate. And I think some Christians kind of ignore those parts and, you know, gravitate to the teachings of Jesus that they already kind of agree with, you know, versus the ones that are more challenging or the ones that are confusing. Mm-hmm. So, all right, number three. Jesus was a madman.
The lunatic.
Yeah. So first we had, liar, lunatic, or Lord. So I guess myth would be liar.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get to liar. I can't remember.
Oh, we'll see.
Yeah.
This guy might not have been thinking about C.S. Lewis when he came up with his list.
The structure. Yeah.
Jesus was crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guy who thought he was God and he's not.
Yeah. I mean, again, it seems fair to me because if somebody popped up in modern times claiming to be God, I'd be like,
yeah. I think where this one, like, is harder for me is that the biblical account is not written by Jesus claiming to be God. It's written by other people coming along after him, seeing what he had done and putting that or reaffirming that title upon him. And so, like, I can see where people land there. That's fine. Like,
sure,
I'm not going to say, like, you're an idiot, right?
Right.
But not for that reason anyway. But I think to me, like, the source of scripture was not written by Jesus does give a layer of insulation from Jesus just being a man. But again, I'm coming
from... biblical authors are not journalists. I mean, they're not like real time, writing these things down in real time. Nope. So like, but I mean, the Bible even acknowledges at some points, like even it says, it references a passage in Mark where his own family fears Jesus has lost his mind.
Yeah. Sure.
Like this person we've grown up with is saying crazy nonsense.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I can kind of understand like the you know, again, if you read the words of Jesus beyond kind of the hits, there is weird stuff that Jesus kind of gets into.
Yeah.
And so people do read the words of Jesus. They're like, I like the hits, but I don't like this idea of like, whoever loves his father and mother more than me is not fit to serve in the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's weird. I don't get it. You know? So, I could understand Jesus is crazy.
Sure.
Jesus was a failed opportunist.
Is this number four or number five?
This is number four.
Number four. Failed opportunist?
Yeah, wow.
This is not one that I'm particularly familiar with.
Basically this. Maybe Jesus was a charismatic figure utilizing religion for personal gain, but then ultimately squashed by the Romans.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
It went south. I think that one is actually pretty easily, not dismissed, but disproven, right? Because he willingly went to his own death at the hands of the Romans, right?
Like, agreed,
Again, he had people try to defend him and he stopped it.
Yeah.
If you're reading the Bible as like, this is a legitimate telling of who Jesus, or even even a legendary telling of who Jesus is, that's not the motivation kind of at any point.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, we kind of, from the get-go, see Jesus willfully suffer and make life harder for himself.
Yeah.
So like, I'm not buying this one as kind of a, I don't think many people really see this.
Yeah, sure.
You know, as that of thing. Jesus was a prophet. This is number five.
Number five?
Yeah.
I think that is a very common place to come. Yeah. I mean, it's where Islamic religion would come. Yeah.
Yeah. I think this is this is probably, you know, tangentially related to wise mm-hmm. sage.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, this
it's like wise sage plus.
Yes. That's when you know, you have a subscription service.
Yeah. Right, no commercials.
That's right.
That's the worst thing when I'm paying for a subscription service and there's commercials. Come on.
Yeah. Netflix with the commercials now is killing me.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And this is the idea is like he has some divine authority,
mm-hmm.
but not as a savior, but as kind of like, you know, he's got the ear of God, mm-hmm. or maybe the mouth of God, but that's it. Mm. Yeah.
No fingers of God. Just the mouth.
The googly eyes of God.
The googly eyes. Yes.
That's the part of God I want.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. This would be fairly common for other religions mm-hmm. who kind of like a lot of things that Jesus say.
Yeah.
Islam would have no problem, you mm-hmm. know, listing Jesus as a potential prophet.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Maybe even Hinduism might list Jesus as like a, you know, that could be a version of one of their gods,
sure.
You know, in man form. And there you go. So, all right. Jesus was the Messiah, but only a man.
Was the Messiah, but only a man. So this would actually be what the Council of Nicaea was fighting about.
Correct.
This is why Santa Claus punched a guy.
Yeah. This is the rift.
This is it. As old as time. It's I mean, it's not a new position. Was Jesus fully God or was Jesus just a human who was really great at being human and do it? Like, I mean, that's, yeah.
I don't really see that this is actually all that strong of like one that people would kind of fall into. I feel like if you're landing on Jesus was the Messiah, but only a man, you're basically saying Jesus was a prophet or a wise teacher.
Yeah.
Like,
it's not that distinct from other. Yeah.
Unless like if Jesus is saving humanity as a Messiah, mm-hmm. he's, you know,
you're kind of three quarters of the way there.
Yeah. Like,
you know?
Why would you land on, but he's definitely a man.
Like, right. That just gets into like the nitty gritty of like cross theology, doesn't it?
Like, I just don't think you would get there without getting all the way there.
Right.
Yeah, like that just is,
I mean, maybe you would, but
I think you could, because I think the notion for some people, the notion of God being fully human and coming into human form is too much.
Like, I just don't think that's
too big a hurdle.
That's a theological concept that the Nicaeans had to argue. I don't think that's what many people are arguing today.
I don't know that a lot of people are holding on to it, but I can see how you get there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I don't get there.
That's
I'm
like,
not sure like what it really changes practically though, if your stance is okay, Jesus was the Messiah. Okay, then like the same thing was accomplished, right? You're just arguing over the vehicle that you drove there in.
Yeah,
like.
I mean, I think it certainly was a bigger deal in an era where Roman emperors were claiming to be God, to say that Jesus was fully God, right?
And do we have that now?
Well, we've got AI images.
Trump with the AI images, yeah. I mean,
history is cyclical, you know, it all comes back around.
Yes. Nothing new under the sun.
Just waiting for the Roman Empire.
Gosh. We've all been thinking about it.
This is my moment.
All right. And then finally, Jesus is the Messiah and God made man. Yeah, that's probably, you know,
that's
classic Jesus.
That's where the Pope lands.
Yeah.
I think that's, for me, that's like, if I don't want to say the true test of Christianity, because I don't think that's fully fair, but I think that is the marker for me of like, okay, if we're starting from a position and what you're putting forth presents an image of Jesus that is Messiah and fully God, like, I'm more willing to hear the rest of what comes after that than if you're aligned with as far as like teacher and wisdom that I should be listening to. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah,
no, I'm with, I mean, like, for me, yeah, this is kind of like, to call yourself a Christian or a follower mm-hmm. of Jesus, like, you got to say like, who's in and who's out. And I think this is kind of a line of like, who's in, right?
Yeah.
Like, you can like Jesus, you could want to follow Jesus, you can enjoy Jesus mm-hmm. as a teacher or a prophet or whatever. But I think to be a Christian, Messiah and God made man, this just seems like, why would you call yourself a Christian if you're not this?
I don't know. I think you can get there if you say Jesus is the Messiah, but have a debate about the fully God and human part. I think you could still
not if you're
be under
in
the
Nicaea
umbrella.
In
I know
the
not 300s. If you're Nicaea, but we're not. Yeah. Again, we're going to the same party, just arguing about the car we drove there in.
Well, like, that's fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a fair position. I think classic Christian doctrine, right, would say to be Christian, right? If he were defining Christianity for the last 1700 years, mm-hmm. right, it would fall in the category 7. I hear what you're saying. And there mm-hmm. are certainly people at the Council of Nicaea who would have said, you know, number 6 as well. Yeah. And they said, like, we can be Christian and say that. But do we have firm evidence to suggest one thing or the other? We have scripture, right? That's what we have. Yeah. And like how firm that evidence is what we've got to be. And so like, yeah, I hear what you're saying. I think we could go to the same party. I do think classic Christianity would say this is it. This is the line. And I don't think that's the line of salvation or damnation, but mm-hmm. I do think that's the line of like, okay, this is Christian teaching and this is maybe outside of Christian teaching and whatever that means, we need to figure that out.
Do we think classical Christianity has gotten it right?
Not always.
Yeah.
No.
Well, I don't think that, right? I'm just making an argument that I think it's like so close to be like, it's kind of details, right? Like, and
yeah, I'm not going to sit up and like divide the church on Sunday and say okay, you over here, you're like,
Well, I think this is like, again, like individually people are going to have, but like even denominationally for me, mm-hmm. this would be like the line that says like, I think the LDS church is on one side mm-hmm. and Christianity is on the other because they do not land on this. Mm-hmm. And so like, even if we read the same holy text, we celebrate Easter, they celebrate Christmas, even with all of those things, because we are not agreed on this, I do not think we're worshiping. We're followers of the same religion.
Mm. To me, it's the planets after death thing is the line where I'm like, nope, you're somewhere else.
they're on a planet.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so like, there are probably people in our congregation that I sit next to and worship God with and I study the Bible with who I might not agree with the same thing, but as like a denominational stance, that would be the line in my mind. So
yeah.
But
I do think in some ways it's easier to have a conversation with someone who has the picture of Jesus as a great sage or a prophet even mm-hmm. than it is to have the conversation with the person of Jesus was the Messiah but not fully God. Like in some ways it's almost easier.
Well, probably because they're not an over-educated jerk. You know, like, if you're getting to that point of like splitting hairs like that, it's like you probably are pretty committed to your own opinion.
Yeah.
To me, this was a little bit like the argument about like what happens during communion, right? Mm. Like, is it the real like blood and body, or is it like a metaphorical blood and body? And mm-hmm. like, there's a lot of kind of directional splits we can take there, mm-hmm. but we're also doing communion, right? Like. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. And so like there, I think I'm drawing a line now, right? I think there is a line at which people say like, what is Christ's real presence in this meal versus, oh, this is a symbol that represents something that was done a long time ago. Right. Mm-hmm. And there is a line at which I think it matters, again, not salvation, but I think it matters for like what communion is about and how we're supposed to encounter that. And yeah, it's semantics in some ways, but I do think there's value in the distinction at some point.
Yeah, I think there is too. I think
you
can be Christian and have questions about the interplay of God v. man.
Sure.
You know, in the person of Jesus.
Yeah. However, in the interplay of Pope v. Prez.
No.
Yeah. Well, I think this is, you know, and we've talked about Christian nationalism before. We've talked about kind of when politicians talk about Jesus or kind of utilize that thing. I think one of the things that's not listed as the 7 ways that people approach Jesus in this article, mm-hmm. one that American Christianity I see does often is Christianity is a tool or a means to an end.
Jesus is a tool. Yeah,
Jesus is that. And that is oftentimes how I see Jesus pictured, especially in American Christianity in light of Christian nationalism. Mm-hmm. Like, I want the world and my country to look like this. The utilizing Jesus is a way to bend the narrative or mm-hmm. bend the mind of voters to get there.
Using select portions of Jesus.
Portions of Jesus. And, you know, I probably can admit everybody's using select portions of Jesus.
Fair.
You know, I think that's probably true. We all kind of like the versions of Jesus. We all kind of like different things. But when I see that politically, that to me that's just not who Jesus is. When you're posting images of yourself in the place of Jesus, undeniably, regardless of what the excuse may be, deleting it may be, it is undeniably putting yourself in that place.
Yeah,
that is. I'm glad that this is something that universally has been condemned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, and as it should. Even if you're a listener and you're like, I don't know why, but if you're a listener, and you're like, I am a staunch Trump faithful. you should condemn this. Like, yeah. And you can still stay that. You know, that's fine, whatever. But at least we got a line on this.
Yeah. Yeah. I do think, I mean, when this started and the Pope had very strong words against the war in Iran, right? I think there was an opportunity where President Trump could have responded to say, like, I respect the Pope's position. He is preaching Jesus to an entire world of church. He is not fully aware of the intricacies of, you know, international diplomacy and the, you know, like,
Trump has never sounded like this in his life.
I understand that. But like, yeah. there is a way that, like, just because the Pope said it does not mean that either Trump had to get in line with the Pope, mm-hmm. or right. that Trump had to, like, yeah. lambast yeah. him. Like, right, yeah. Presidents have disagreed with popes for generations. Yeah. I'm sure that this is not the first pope to say an American war is unjust. Yeah. Right? I'm sure that's not the first time this has happened. In fact, I know that back in the 1920s, post-World War One, the Pope instituted a new religious day, a festival day that we now celebrate as Christ the King Day. It's in November, right before we start Advent. And it was started to kind of battle back against the rise of fascism, nationalism, and all this stuff that was coming up, to say, like, no, Christ is Lord. Like, that's mm-hmm. like, so popes have definitely done this throughout history. And there are other ways that could have been taken, but instead we got Jesus as a means to an end. And Jesus as a means to an end says, I can do what I want because I don't have to pay any attention to you. I can just say Jesus and then I can go blow people up and I can put myself in this picture and I can do whatever I want.
Yeah.
There was a coherent thought in there somewhere, right?
There definitely was. Yeah. Right. No, obviously, a Pope statement of, like, God is never on the side of those who wield the sword, mm-hmm. which I don't think is true, based on, because Scripture's not, you know, you got to, like, basically throw out the entire Old Testament
sure.
if you think that's true, that it's impossible for God to be on the side of those who wield the sword. But that doesn't mean those who wield the sword in Iran are on mm-hmm. God's side, those who hold the sword in Iraq or Israel mm-hmm. or Ukraine or Russia or wherever war is yeah. that God is automatically on the side with those who are yeah, winning.
Both sides are wielding swords, just to be clear.
Right. Yeah. And I think
metaphorical swords at this point. Obviously, I don't think anybody's
the Jesus I read in Scripture is going to be pro peace, pro understanding, pro resolution that is uplifting and upholding life.
Yeah.
And we as a nation should be on that same side. Now, there may be times,
certainly as Christians, we should be on that side.
And there may be times where the yeah. nation has to wield the sword and we have to navigate those things. But the response of posting yourself as an AI Jesus
yeah.
is not the nuance of yeah. talking about war. And the response of Christians in light of war is just, well, I'm the president and mm-hmm. I'm kind of like Jesus. Yep. Seems insanity to me.
But wait, I thought I was a doctor.
Yeah. And I'm healing people.
Right.
Obviously. With my sword.
Yikes.
Well, another week down, friends.
Yeah.
Another week
down. Look at us, still here.
Still here.
Well, hey, if you enjoyed this episode, you can find all of our stuff at beyondsundaypodcast.com, and you can send us an email of what profession you would have AI post a picture of you as. What's your AI profession of choice? You can send that to beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.